Today's reading can be found on page 624 of the Church Bibles, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh. If only I was 6 inches tall. It's a bit like a royal procession, isn't it, really? Roll out the red carpet. It's a bit wobbly, actually. Okay. Well, this is the second in our summer series on the Psalms, and this morning we're looking at Psalm 127, which is another of the pilgrim psalms, or songs of ascent. And that means that the Israelites would have sung these as they made their way from their homes to Jerusalem to celebrate the festivals in the Jewish calendar. And the title for this morning is Knowing I Make a Difference. So I wonder if any of you have ever dreamt of making a difference in the world. Have you ever longed to be remembered for something worthwhile? Maybe you can think back to when you were a child and remember what it was that you wanted to be when you grew up. Maybe you hoped you'd be a famous footballer, a model, a rock star, maybe a dancer, or a writer or an artist. Perhaps as you got older, your ambitions became more modest. Maybe to be successful in your work, to be a good parent, to be respected in the community. And it's natural for us to have a longing to be significant, to want to be appreciated for the positive things that we've done in our lives. No one wants to get to the end of their life and have the epitaph, "She did nothing at all of any significance. She made no difference to anybody." And God knows our desire for significance because he made us like that. And I think he uses that desire to stir us up to ask questions about our purpose in life. And he's got good plans for all of us that if we follow, they will lead us to greater fulfillment in our lives. And he wants us to be dissatisfied with what the secular world has got to offer so that we'll search for something more meaningful and that maybe we will turn to him. And this is what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God delights in each one of us. We are all so special to him. And he gave us the gifts and the talents that we have. And he's got a good plan for us. The tricky thing for us is finding out what that plan is and then following it. And I think that Psalm 127 offers a number of helpful hints for us as we try and find out about God's plan for us and how we can stick to it. And I like the idea that as the Israelites were journeying into Jerusalem, they were singing songs about journeying through life. Now, the first thing we see in the psalm is how important it is to involve God in absolutely everything we do. Verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain." And there's no division between secular and sacred activities here. God is equally present and equally important in both. He is interested in everything that we do, and nothing is too insignificant for his care. We need his perspective on all the things that we are involved in. And notice that the two examples that are given here in this verse, they're of ordinary work, watchmen and builders. And note also that the psalmist says that unless the Lord is with them in their work, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord watches over the city, it's in vain. And it's the same for us. Whatever we do, we need God's involvement. So there's no big divide between what we do here in church on a Sunday and what we do during the week. I think it's easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that singing worship songs and spending time in church is somehow more holy and more pleasing to God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's our attitude that matters to God, the way we set about the things that we do, and whether our actions come from our heart, a heart that is set on following and serving God to the best of our ability. Paul says in Corinthians, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Paul specifically mentions some of the most basic human actions, eating and drinking, and he says that we should do them for God's glory. God is interested in our whole lives, the nitty-gritty mundane things, in the kitchen, in the office, driving the car, out shopping. God wants to be involved in all that. And all those things can be just as much an offering of worship as what we do on Sunday. And there was a monk in the 16th century, Brother Lawrence, who you may have heard about, who understood this. Now, he worked in the monastery kitchen because he wasn't good at anything else. He had no academic qualifications and he was quite clumsy. And at first he felt that what he did wasn't important. But gradually, God showed him that what he was doing in the kitchen was just as valuable to God, and he was just as close to God there as the abbot was when he was leading the services. Now, he became known for his profound peace, and lots of people came to him for spiritual guidance. This is what he says. We can do little things for God. I turn the cake that is frying in the pan for love of him. And I find it really helps me to realise that what I'm doing, the humble, boring stuff of life, that can be my offering of worship to God. And it can completely change my outlook when I'm emptying the washing machine for the umpteenth time, or when I'm responding to yet another call of, "Mum." The shame is that I remind myself of it all too seldom. Now, at the same time, the psalmist warns us against empty activity, because so often we get caught up in just doing. We're under pressure. And our Western society, our cash-rich, time-poor society, is busy, busy, busy. And maybe it's easier for us to rush around rather than having to think about why we're here and why we're doing what we're doing. Psalm 127 reminds us that it's easy to get caught up in activity that may not be helpful. It may not be the best that God wants for us. The psalmist says, "In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat." Maybe you can identify with that photograph. God doesn't want us to waste our time. He doesn't want us to struggle unnecessarily with a workload that's too heavy for us. And personally, I find I have to be careful of getting caught up in activity. There are so many opportunities. There are so many good things to be involved in. And some years ago, someone who knew me quite well challenged me about being too busy. He asked me if I was sure that God wanted me to be involved in all that I was doing. And at the same time, I read a little saying that said, "You can spell busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke." And so I felt that maybe God might be trying to give me a hint here. But actually, I was a bit offended at the challenge. A lot of the things I was busy with were church ministries. They were God's work, and I really enjoyed doing them. And anyway, doesn't being under Satan's yoke sound a little bit extreme? However, I thought it over, and I realised that actually God is not best served by me rushing around trying to get involved in lots of stuff. And in fact, I may well be spoiling God's good plan for me, which would please Satan. I need to constantly check myself and ask God about what I'm doing. Is it what I believe he wants me to do? Because he's always got my best interests in mind. Now, another of the psalmist's helpful hints is the importance of rest. And the psalm contains the great promise, he grants sleep to those he loves. Or, as the Message translation has it, and I prefer this actually, don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? Isn't that great? He enjoys giving us rest. And we need to plan for rest and refreshment and not feel guilty. God rested, and so should we. And it's easy for us to feel there's no time, that there are still things to do, but we don't do ourselves any favours if we neglect ourselves in this way. And Stephen Covey, he's a Christian business guru, and he wrote the book, best-selling book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He calls making time for rest and refreshment sharpening the saw. So in other words, if we neglect to recharge our batteries, we just end up becoming less effective, like a saw that's been used for too long without being sharpened. And again, this is something I find I need to discipline myself to do. And I think it can be hard for those of us who work at home. And I'm a homemaker and I do a part-time job, which is mainly done in the home, because it's hard to switch off when your work is all around you and there's always something obvious, which is just waiting to be done. I'm the type of mum who's always rushing at the last minute to the school gate, because if there's 5 minutes left to go before school pickup time, I know I just have time to put that load of washing on, to unload the dishwasher. Maybe I could clear up that mess. But God grants rest to those he loves, and we need to accept that gift graciously and thankfully. And a friend of mine told me that one of the most useful pieces of advice given to her by her mother was always to take 10 minutes during the day to put her feet up and read the paper. And for me, it helps to get out of the house, to do something different. And I play hockey and also I have singing lessons. And both those activities mean that I can completely switch off for the worries of the day, and I can concentrate on something that I enjoy that refreshes and revitalizes me. But we each need to find something that works for us personally in terms of rest and relaxation. Now, when we think about God's perfect plan for our lives, we can often feel that we've failed in some way, that we haven't followed what is God's best for us. And that might be because of our own actions. We might have made mistakes. We may regret things that we've done or not done. Or it might be because of circumstances. In life, things hardly ever turn out how we think they're going to. And I laughed when I saw verse 3 in this psalm, and I realised why Simon had chosen this one for me to speak on. Its sons are a heritage from the Lord, children are a reward from him. And many of you will know that I've got 5 children, aged between 5 and 20, 3 boys and 2 girls. And what this verse says is really true. Children are an amazing gift from God, and they are such a blessing. And they teach us so many lessons, particularly about life plans. With children, you can never be sure what will happen next. And sometimes it's like being on a roller coaster. When my first son, Nathan, was born, I just finished a degree in psychology, and I had specialised in child development. I was looking forward to putting some of those theories that I'd learned into action. I can see some parents there are smiling already. Little did I know what parenting was really going to be like. I'd vowed never to give up work when I had children. However, baby Nathan hardly slept at all, and a few months later, absolutely exhausted, I handed in my resignation. My life was set on a completely different path to the one that I had planned. And God so often uses the broken areas of our lives to help and encourage others. And if you're going through a difficult time in your life, there's no one better to come alongside you and encourage you than someone who has already come through similar difficulties. And I've found the things in my life that have caused me grief and frustration, they can be used in a positive way to help and encourage others. For example, I can really identify with and I can share my variety of parenting experiences with the parents and carers in the toddler group here at St. Paul's Rainbows. Life is never straightforward. Perhaps we feel we've missed the opportunity to follow God's plan. But God is a God of fresh chances. He is the one who loves to build with us, to watch with us. He longs to be involved in our lives and to come alongside and help us. He takes our weak efforts and makes them great. God can always use what has happened in our lives to make something good. There's a story about a small girl in a hotel lobby. She was trying to play the piano. The results were not pleasing. Her plink plonk was making the people around her a bit annoyed. But as she played, a man came and sat down beside her, and he added his playing to hers to make a beautiful melody. It was her father, who was a famous composer. And God is like that with us. He takes our plink plonk, our human imperfect lives, our mistakes, and if we allow him, he adds his own melody to them to make something good that can bless others. God has created us all differently. We each have different gifts and talents that he's given us. The psalmist knows this. Some are builders, some are watchers, some are early risers, some go late to bed, some have lots of children, and some have none. And I really love what Rick Warren says in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. You are God's handcrafted work of art. You are not an assembly line product, mass-produced without thought. You are a custom-designed, one-of-a-kind, original masterpiece. How great is that? How encouraging is that? God designed us in a special way for a specific ministry that only we can do. We're designed to make a difference in this world that only we can make. If we can invite God into the everyday activities of our lives, if we can seek to live for him and involve him in everything that we do, it will not only bring us fulfillment, but it will be a blessing to those around us. So this, then, is the challenge of Psalm 127. Will we invite God's presence into every part of our lives, the boring bits, the humdrum bits, as well as the more exciting times? Will we trust him to help us in our unique ministry of service? Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, I just pray this morning that you will give us a fresh view of our lives and ourselves, how precious we are to you and how what we do every day can be so valuable to you. I pray that you'll help us to invite you to come alongside us, to help us in all that we do, and that you'll give us your perspective, that you'll give us your heart of love and of service. Amen.